I'm Kate Remington, and I'm talking with Maria Martin. She is the founder and the artistic director of the Bridgehampton Chamber Music Festival, and it's so wonderful to have a chance to talk with you again.
Kate, it's been 2 years. Mm-hmm. We have this wonderful yearly conversation, and we missed it this last year, and of course, like many things, we missed. But we're very hopeful, we're very happy that we are having conversations, playing concerts again this year.
It's phenomenal that you have been able to put together a season for this year. The opening concert is Wednesday, August 4th, and the concerts run through the month of August, and you've got some really, really special things planned. Why don't we just jump right in and talk about the first concert, because that is really, really exciting, with Alan Alda and Jennifer Coe.
It is. It's going to be a great concert. But just if I could back up a second.
Sure.
So, of course, we had to cancel our last year's season. And this year, of course, it was very iffy. Could we do 33% occupancy? Could we do 12 feet spaced, socially distanced? So all these things were going on in our mind. But in February, we decided we are going to have a season, whatever we can do. And we decided to make a new format, which is to do an hour-long concert. So there's no waiting at bathrooms. And of course, we were thinking of the headaches. How do we clean bathrooms? How do we do that? How do we keep people socially distanced while they wait in line? So we decided to do 2 hour-long concerts, no intermission, each night, and then we would repeat them each night.
Oh, wow.
So we're doing a 5 to 6 concert and a 7 to 8 concert, the same program. So I went to all my musicians and I said, this is what we're hoping to do. And I know 2 concerts is not, it's a little bit of a taxing night. And they all said to me, Maria, if you wanted to do 4 concerts, I would be happy to do them. They said, we're making up for lost time. We can't wait to be playing again.
I can imagine. I love that format. That's such a wonderful way of giving people, 2 opportunities if they want to hear the pieces. And it must be nice for the musicians to have a second crack at some of these pieces too.
I love having a second crack. For me, the second concert is always more relaxing and you can maybe go for things that you wouldn't necessarily do the first time through. So that was sort of to explain the hour-long concerts. Then I was talking with Alan Alda, and I thought, because he was going to perform with us 2 years ago, but that was going to be a full concert, and that was a script that would be a full concert. I said, how could we do something that is just this hour long? And we were thinking of doing Bach for this year, had we done it. He said, well, I've always been interested in the Bach Chaconne of the D minor violin, solo violin partita. How about if we concentrated, since it's a shorter program, just on that piece? So I thought, oh, this could be just wonderful. So Alan is researching all sorts of things. Of course, we don't have letters. Mozart, when we did that, there are screeds of letters. Schumann, Brahms, Clara Schumann, there's piles of letters. Bach was born in 1685, so we don't have that information intact. But Alan has been researching town records in Leipzig and all around the place to see what he was doing, what happened then. And he has got a real picture of Bach, especially at this particular moment that he wrote the Chaconne. So it's going to be interesting. It's going to be great.
Yeah, I'll bet. And Jennifer Coe is just such a fabulous violinist. And
she's stunning. So, and she's a great performer. And, you know, this piece takes some presence. It's a 30-minute piece, solo Bach, and she performs it by memory. And she has a wonderful presence that will really be fantastic. And then at the end of the concert, we're going to have a very short, maybe 5 to 10 minute question and answer with Alan and Jenny.
Oh, that's wonderful. What a cool experience. And so over the last year, what have you been doing to keep yourself busy and keep yourself, you know, motivated artistically?
Well, it's really been quite difficult. I teach at Manhattan School of Music, so I was doing my same teaching. It was remote, so there's a learning curve there. To use Zoom and FaceTime to the best way possible to help your students. We were also scrambling every time the rules changed to look at our plans. We were going to do a fall series, which was the original March spring series reinvented. So we had to cancel that. So instead of that, we had wonderful archives. We record and video every single concert. So we had a treasure trove of the last 3 years' concerts. So I spent a lot of time going back into that and actually curating these works, not in the programs they were originally performed in, but taking two pieces out. And then I would do a Zoom interview with a couple of the musicians, and we talked about that night, how they're doing now. And it became a much more personal event. Actually, it became more of an event. It was connecting with our audience, which I felt so needy to connect to my people.
Yeah, sure.
And just when you put a concert out there, it's not the same thing. So I think we did something like 18 of these video curated and managed and produced concerts. So that actually was quite an undertaking. But I'm sure, like your audience, there was times at the very beginning when I woke up and I'm a very regimented person because I've always needed to get a lot done in the day. We left New York City. We do have a place out here in Bridgehampton, and that was the safest place for us to be. One of my daughters and her husband came to live with us, and another daughter and her husband came at odd times. It was a very full house, but there was something eerie about that first month, keeping safe, ordering food. Do we go to the supermarket? Does the youngest person in the family do the shopping? I'm sure this resonates with everyone. And it took me about 2 months to sort of get out of that very strange, small space. And then I started thinking, okay, what can we do? How can we do this? What could we do better? So every time we did one concert, we'd think, okay, that was terrible. I was very nervous and talking to a camera rather than talking to my audience. I love introducing the concerts and talking to the audience, but this was talking to an iPhone. And I would look at the wrong, you know, it was a little bit of a learning curve. But we got such lovely texts and emails back from our audience. And a lot of people said, look, it's not as good as the concerts, but thank you so much for putting these on.
I can imagine. Well, in addition to being the artistic director of this festival, you're also a flutist. And I'm wondering how the pandemic affected how you approached practicing and learning new pieces and learning new repertoire.
Well, it's interesting. And I'm going to be completely honest with you and your audience. And I've talked to a number of musician friends about this. Some use the time to learn Goldberg variations, which they've never had time to learn. Others felt disassociated a little bit from their instrument. And I was one of those who put down the flute for 6 months. And in a way, I loved it because this is the first time in my entire life since I've been 8 years old where the schedule of practicing hasn't been foremost in my mind. And it felt like a great expression is taking off a tight pair of shoes. It's the first time in my life that I have said, what shall I do today?
Wow.
But after 6 months, I started missing it. And then I started playing again. And the amazing thing is, I feel I was exercising quite a bit during this time because I knew that exercise is very good for me, keeping my sort of even keel. And I found that my posture was better. I felt more relaxed playing the flute. So I actually feel that I feel more relaxed playing my instrument than I have maybe in 40 years.
Wow. That's such a great silver lining with all of this.
It is. And I have talked to other musicians about this, and everyone at the beginning is sort of like, oh, well, yes, I did this and this and this. And then you talk to them a little more and they said, yeah, I was really unhappy. And then you talk to them a little more and they say, I put down the instrument. I let myself have time to think about this. I let myself do all sorts of things. A friend of mine wrote a book. Another person has always wanted to paint watercolors. She was painting right throughout the pandemic. So I'm not meaning to take away the awfulness of this time, but I think that if we can't get through this pandemic without taking some of those lessons with us, that time will have been wasted. I mean, I think that I am going to reevaluated my life and how I spend it, and I think I'm going to be a better person for it.
Well, one of the things that I have noticed with so many concerts and festivals that are starting back up again this summer is this feeling of joy and relief. And it really seems like your festival, the Bridgehampton Chamber Music Festival, is also reflecting that sense of joy and just being able to come together again. And so it must have been an interesting challenge to choose the pieces that you did to kind of reflect that.
Well, it's interesting because in the past, as many other artistic directors, we are on the cutting edge of some new music, some old music, women composers with diverse backgrounds. It's not that I turned away from that this year, but I felt so strongly the need for comfort music. I needed it, and I thought our audience needed just to come back and feel the joy of gathering together, feel the joy of this wonderful, wonderful music, just all around them. And so I chose some of my favorites of the repertoire. I mean, the Schubert Cello Quintet is one of the most amazing works.
It is. It's just like being enveloped in just the coziest blanket.
That's
yeah.
The word I was trying to find.
Yeah.
You know, the Four Seasons, Vivaldi's and Piazzolla's Four Seasons. And also, one thing I have done, which is during pandemic, a very good friend of mine who we've played many of his works, a composer called Eric Awazin. I was in touch with him and I said, Eric, you know, how's the pandemic going, blah, blah, blah. I would love to commission you to write us a piece that we will hopefully play in the summer of 2021. And I want to put it with Vivaldi and Piazzolla. And it's going to be the Night of Four Seasons. So he's written me this piece that's called A Season of Our Time. And I just got the music yesterday.
Oh,
so.
Wow.
It's for me, it says what we've been through. And I think it's important to mark these moments. This piece was composed during the pandemic and played as soon as we could after the pandemic was over. I think that's pretty cool.
That's very cool. He is just such a phenomenal composer. I just cannot get enough of his music.
Yes.
And I'm sure it's just going to be a joy to play. And yet he's written other pieces that reflect our time too. He wrote a piece in reaction to the attacks of 9/11 that's yes. really incredibly powerful. And I'm sure that this one, it's not all going to be, you know, sparkles and sunshine, but but he's so honest about the yes. reflecting these times.
Right, he is. And he has such a knack for actually making beautiful sounds. He really does compose for all the instruments in a very a stunning way. I think almost, he doesn't play every instrument. He doesn't play the flute, but I don't know of any other composer who really knows every note on the flute. He knows what a B flat sounds like compared to an F sharp. And somehow or other, he lingers on all the notes that are good.
That's just, and that's going to be a world premiere, which is so yes. exciting. And that's on the William Brian Little concert at the Channing Sculpture Garden. And yes. having that be an outdoor concert too, I think is going to be really special.
Yes, it'll be wonderful.
What else are you looking forward to with this season?
Every concert for me is going to be wonderful. And every concert, especially this year, is going to be wonderful because we've had this hiatus. Usually in the festival, it's 5 weeks long. This year, we have made it just 3 weeks long. And we pushed it back into August. This was thinking way back in February because we thought, okay, we'll give ourselves 3 more weeks for people to be vaccinated. I mean, that was the thinking way back in February. Little did we know that by May, almost everyone of our age group anyway was vaccinated. So the Schubert concert, I think, is going to be wonderful. And that starts off with a little sonata for two cellos. There's another concert where we have the Spohr Nonet.
Oh, yeah, which has hardly ever played. So that's yes. really cool.
And it's big. Mm-hmm. It's wonderful. And we're starting that with Eine kleine Nachtmusik. Now, we have all these wind players, and Eine kleine Nacht is a serenade, and most often Mozart wrote the serenades for wind instruments because they were sort of outdoor entertainment. The wind players would go around the village playing to people after work, then they'd pick up their things and go to the next village. And wind players, the wind playing outside, of course, projected better than strings. So it was quite unusual that he wrote this serenade just for strings. So I've taken upon it myself to make a new arrangement of this, adding flute, oboe, and horn.
Wow, that's really pretty brave.
I know. Maybe that's what COVID did to me. I don't in any way think that I am surpassing or in any way misrepresenting the original piece. It's just so wonderful. But I think a new take on it is not the worst thing in the world, and let's see how it goes.
Yeah. Well, what did you use for like source material? Did you study how he used winds in other serenades or in his other music?
Yes. The other thing I did, and I've played quite a few of them, is Haydn had his publisher, Peter Solomon, make arrangements of some of his symphonies. So I could look at those. Now, it's a slightly different process because you're coming from a bigger number of instruments to a smaller number. So he had to pick which lines he doubled and which he didn't. So I basically thought of the wind instruments as an extra added color to Mozart's writing. So if there is a military type theme, we all play it, or the horn could have a little more definition, and those gorgeous slow things, the oboe and flute would double. It's adding the instruments instead of rearranging the whole thing.
Well, what's so interesting about arrangements and transcriptions is that it gives you a way of hearing something that's very familiar. I mean, this is probably his best known piece. You're hearing it in a different way. So that's yes. that's really exciting.
I must say, sometimes I say to myself, are you crazy? I've just finished it. So now we're tidying it up. Mm-hmm. We'll see.
No, it sounds like it's really going to be fantastic. And just all of the programs are great. And how can people find out more and get tickets?
Yes, we have a fantastic website. We have redone our website during COVID, BCMF, Bridgehampton Chamber Music Festival.org. All the programs are there. You can buy tickets online, or you can call our box office, which is 212-741-9073.
That's fantastic. Well, Maria, it has been so much fun to catch up with you, and this just looks like such a joyful, wonderful season. So thank you so much.
Thank you, Kate. And I am so happy to be back. I'm so happy to be talking to you. And we're all pretty lucky people right now.
We sure are. So thank you again. Thanks so much.